regardless of the outcome. Boost up positive energy without one. Sorry about the jab, I'm on a holy field. I'm bearing fruit, but demons try to eat them like Yoshi meal. I piss them off the Batman like Falcone deals. Jungle full of predators, I know how Mowgli feels. So I got the fire, refuse to live in fear. I can spot suppliers, DNA fresh scrubs.
Welcome to episode 84 of the Permaculture Pimpcast, the only pimpcast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. How you doing, son?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm good. This episode brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com.
Turn that simp into a pimp.
Bam! That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, also, Heaven's Harvest, y'all, 10% off with promo code PERMA. So far, man, those seeds are looking good. I mean, from that Heaven's Harvest.
Yeah, I can't remember which seeds have popped up yet so far.
Well, there's two trays of them so far.
The beans on one of them have already popped up, and that's been 100% germination rate. The other tray, I don't know what it is, but it's 100% germination rate. I can't remember which one it was.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's looking good so far.
Yeah, your mom wrote on that tag, and it's so doggone small, and I think some of the letters bled out on it that I can't make it out. Man, if nothing else, if this farming thing didn't work out, you and her could team up and make ransom notes.
Yep.
No doubt about that, y'all. Hey, if you want to tip a pimp, check us out on the Fountain app. Yes, you can go over there and tip us in this thing called Sats, which is a derivation of Bitcoin, as I understand it. Also, the cool thing is you can listen to every podcast you got, and you can kick it on up to whatever speed you like, just the way I do. But I got to admit, as of late, I haven't been really checking out a whole lot of podcasts, but we'll just drift right on into the tip of the day. All right, y'all. Okay, it's spring. Everybody is out there, you know, they got trees for sale. Obviously, not the best time in the world to put your trees in the ground. But hey, if you can get them, if you can put them in, go for it. I planted trees in the dead of summer. You're just going to have to look after them more. And don't be impressed with the big trees. But the real tip I'm giving you today is wood mulch. Put as much wood mulch around your woody species as possible. There's a couple reasons for that. Number one, it's going to help keep the moisture in. Number two, it's going to keep the weed suppression down for two reasons. Number one, that wood mulch is going to ultimately, if you're not spraying junk out there, if you're not spraying any kind of weird chemicals, sooner or later, it's going to become a little more fungal dominant. And all your things that are woody, like your shrubs, like your trees, that's exactly what they want. So right now is a good time to put it on. It's better if it's aged wood chips, because anything, if you could smell that wood, if it's giving off any smell, you don't necessarily, I mean, if you put it on top of everything, like really, really mounted up, it's probably going to be less of a problem. The worms will make the exchange for you over time.
Well, yeah, it's funny you say that, because I was digging in an area that was, it was over... on the area where we had those first pair of red wattles clear, that part, I was digging over there, and there was one section that is completely transformed. Like, it went from hard red clay to, like, black, luscious soil.
And that's exactly what we want.
I was pulling the comfrey up by the base of the leaves, which doesn't happen.
Well, the part of the reason for that is that we had very compacted alkaline soil over there. And because of what we did, putting down tons of carbon in the soil, the worms have transformed it into a slightly acidic place that is wonderful for trees. You know what else ain't growing over there?
The thorny species, multiflora rose, the Carolina creeper, or Virginia creeper, all that stuff.
Yeah, but that was kind of a trick question, because one of the big things that ain't growing over there is that silvergrass. But that's a private conversation we'll have later, because this is the scourge of these mountains. Everywhere we have improved the soil and made it more fungal dominant, these crazy species, first of all, weeds are less reluctant. I mean, they're reluctant to come back. But the real tip of the day, y'all, around those trees, put out mulch. If you're going to put compost on, don't dig anything out of the way. Just stick it on top, cover it up with some mulch. All right, y'all, there's your tip of the day. And believe me, it's a good one, especially in these times. All right, so right into farm news, I've been spending a whole lot of time doing a whole lot of things, and chief among that, because we got that farm where you live showing up this weekend, I've been making a lot of bone sauce and still doing my 75 hard, still doing my power list, and I've been 100% on just about everything. No, not just about everything. Not only have I done... Son, here's the crazy thing. For those that just tuned in, I'm doing basically... the 75 hard program, along with the power list, both of which came from Andy Frisella. And I thought I was reluctant to even try it, but I got to say, not only am I doing everything on the list, I'm doing probably 10% more than I anticipated.
Yeah.
So that's exactly what, how it's working out for me. And so yeah, I'm making bone sauce. Good night, man. I don't even know where to start. We've been clearing every morning, and this is probably out of something we ought to go into a greater detail about, son. So part of every morning when we get down to chores and everything, Michelle and I, she's doing the 75 hard as well. So as part of our morning, not morning, but our 45-minute outside workout means that we got the Rams in a place that is not very hospitable. Not, it is definitely not pasture. At best, it's silva pasture, almost, not even. We're still giving them hay, and for a reason.
It's new growth forest.
And well,
that's
it's
what it is.
Well, it's this thing is, I mean, we're doing a good job. Here's what we're doing is for 45 minutes, we're basically going up there, chopping down what we can, and a lot of it's multi-floor rows and thorny stuff, and then we're putting down hay in its place. Remember what I just described in the tip of the day? We're laying down carbon on that soil. Now, it's a pain in the butt because I got to carry these giant hay bales up the mountain. And believe me, this ain't no, this is not an easy climb. So they clear as much as they can. They're eating the green. We cut down, of course, they're eating the multi-floor rows and all that stuff. And then the stuff they can't reach, we knock down to them. When they clear that up, we run it down. So we got giant piles of wood, and it doesn't look, from you and I, from our standpoint, it looks really good the way it's turning out.
Oh, yeah.
But for anybody showing up, you're going to think, oh, my goodness, what happened up there? It looks like the Tunguska explosion in Russia. It's all by design. Pigs went through first. Now the sheep are going through. Could have been, I don't know if it could have been the other way around. I'm not sure the sheep would have ever got through that area.
Yeah. I mean, that area was so thick, the pigs had to. Like, the sheep, they get caught up on a lot of stuff. The pigs, they go through stuff.
Yeah, they'll just run it down.
Yeah.
And so it's turning out. I mean, this place was a complete mess when we got here. And just until recently, we've been finding Christmas trees still with the ornaments on them.
Yeah, do you know how many of those saplings over there that are just like uprooted from the pigs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they knocked out a whole lot of stuff. But it probably is something that we should go into greater detail. Now, in a perfect world, it would have been better if this were done over the winter. Because, you know, we would have a lot of things break down underneath, you know, all through the winter and, you know, into the spring. So we're later than we'd like to be on that sort of thing, but hey, it's getting done. So, we're basically turning that thickety mess into a silva pasture, which could ultimately graduate into an orchard if we so desire.
Yeah.
So right now it's a rough, rugged place to be running sheep, but they're well adapted to that terrain. So what's
or
new?
They will be.
Yeah, well, hey, you get loose or get lost around here. So your mom's been doing a lot of planting, and you know, that's a nonstop thing, and doing a lot of other stuff as well.
Yeah, the two videos we just did was planting the regular potatoes and then starting the sweet potato slips.
Yeah, so to planting the sweet potatoes in order to get those slips. So that's where we are right now on that. So in the past, we've never done a whole lot of that sort of thing. We've never really talked about in any kind of detail how it is we go about doing our sweet potatoes or anything else we grow, because we just thought YouTube was pretty well saturated with that, and we are a how-to channel. So we're not out there necessarily looking for, you know, doing gratuitous nonsense to get a bunch of new viewers or a bunch of people on board. The idea is to evangelize this sublime design science called permaculture. And that's exactly what we want to do. All right, y'all, remember, coming up real soon. Well, first of all, this weekend, if you can get to Asheville, North Carolina, you'll want to be there, because April 15th, Joel Salatin himself is going to be there. We're going to be there. He's like Michael and we're Tito. You dig?
Yeah, we just rented the pimp wagon to go pick him up and chauffeur him.
Yeah, so we're just going to be taking him around and, you know, showing him a good time. And, you know, yeah, it's going to be a great time. Anytime I can get some one-on-one time with Joel, or even in a crowd setting, man, you are going to learn more from him than probably 10 other masters put together. All right, coming up also, y'all, we got a pig processing class. Don't be left out, because this here is going to be the last one we do this year. We got two different types of, you know, ways we're going to do it. One's going to be on April 28th and 29th, and the other on May 5th and 6th. And that's going to be at Sow the Lamb. We're going to link that down below, right, son?
Yeah, it's been linked down below.
All right, before we get into Pastor Lon, y'all remember, this is going to be the last time I'm probably going to do a pig in any kind of class this year. We got a lot on the plate, and I'm just not going to be doing, every time I say I'm never going to do anything, we wind up doing something somewhere. So hopefully I can stick to this because we got a lot of stuff that needs done around here. All right, with that said, y'all, homesteading pastor.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Lon. I got two verses of scripture for us today. It's in Matthew chapter 23, verses 27 and 28. It says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you're like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity." Just like you walk up to a tomb or look at a tombstone in the graveyard, it looks beautiful on the outside. But if you dug down into that grave, you find rottenness and death and darkness. And there's a lot of folks in the world like that today. Some of them stand behind pulpits in the churches. Some of them are members of the churches. And a lot of them are in our government today and in society. So I would encourage you, be aware of those people that appear to be one thing on the outside, but on the inside, they're corrupt.
Amen to all that. Boy, we could do podcast after podcast on that one.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well, hey, y'all, if you want to see the homesteading pastor, Pastor Lon himself, he's going to be out there at Farm Where You Live. He's going to have his wonderful wife, Robbie. And we're really excited to see him, man. Anytime I get a chance to sit down with them or just talk, or we went to the farmer's daughter one time up in Tennessee, it's always a joy, man. You just learn so much and you just have a good time in fellowship. So I'm really looking forward to that. And that's one of the cool things you're going to find at festivals like this is that, you know, you already know that you're in a room of a bunch of other people that can relate to you. And if for no other reason, that is well worth the cost of admission, which, by the way, if you're going to do it, if you're going to go, remember, use promo code PERMA, get 10% off. It's not that expensive even to begin with, to be honest.
I think tickets are $10.
Yeah. So,
and then like if you want to take individual classes, I think there are prices on those too.
Yeah. That seems to be the end thing right now. More of an a la carte type thing. All right, y'all. So bad news, good news. Now, Denise from Renewed Homestead, which, by the way, they got those Hori Hori knives. I think they're going to be out there this weekend also.
I think so. I think they have a booth, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
so
you Renewed can go Homestead. Get your Hori Hori knives from them and then rice knives from us.
Yeah, you can get it all of the above. But Denise sent this morning, and I was like, there ain't no way I ain't covering this. Well, and a lot of you might even know about it right now, but there's a video. Explosion kills 18,000 cattle. Critically injures one person at a Texas dairy farm.
18,000 cattle.
18,000.
What are they blaming it on?
It even says, they didn't even say that in the article. Just a blast somehow just went off, man. If you look at that
milk
thing, dude,
doesn't spontaneously combust. Well, it's not like dairy farms have,
it's not like I don't know. Was it a grain silo? It doesn't really work that way.
No, I don't think it.
No. Yeah. So 18,000 cattle, are you kidding me? I can't even get my head around this, y'all. So we got food processing plant blowing up, burning up, always in the middle of the night for some reason. It almost seems as if there's some silent war going on.
Yeah, okay, so there's 18,000 cattle, but one person got injured. Okay, so how is one person managing 18,000 cattle? It sounds like everybody else got the word and headed out.
Well, I don't know, man. Maybe somebody didn't. Maybe he was a foreman. Nobody liked him. It could have been something like that, or a lot of these things are automated these days, so maybe you don't need a whole group of hands to help out.
18,000 cattle, I imagine you need more than one person.
Yeah, but if anybody, the critical thing I think we all need to take away from this is if ever there was a time, now this is a conversation like a text message thing Pastor Lon and I actually had going on, I think day before yesterday. Man, y'all, if there was, I won't go into the nature of what it was, but I will say, if there was ever a time where you feel the need to put back food to grow food, because it's one thing to be like so many people that you and I both know where, oh, I got all this food put back. I got this food, but you got no resupply.
Yeah.
Yep. So what good is that? I mean, yeah, if you got a lot of food, do you know how to get more? Do you know how to acquire more? Do you know how to grow more? Do you know how to, that's part of what we're going to be covering today. So, I mean, y'all, this is, I'm frustrated. I know Pastor Lon would agree with me, and I am frustrated of having conversations, trying to wake up people who ought to know better.
Yeah.
At this point, you got money to go on constant vacations. You got money to go to the latest movie theater. You got money for the brand new car. You got money for the house you can't even afford. Got money for all those things, but somehow you ain't got money to put in the plate on Sunday, or you ain't got money to put, to put back a few cans of extra food.
Yeah, I was listening to the Health Ranger earlier, Mike Adams, and he was interviewing somebody, and that guy said, like, anybody who doesn't know what's going on now is, like, willingly ignorant. Like, you can't avoid the information now.
Yeah, yeah, it is beyond the point, well beyond the point where you could say, I was just ignorant about it. I didn't know any better. You can't say that no more.
We had a family visit the other day.
Yep.
Who isn't aware of what's going on in the world. Like, they don't really pay attention to that type of stuff, what goes on in the world. And they still knew not to get the shot, the injection, the jab, all that.
Yeah, well, we're on YouTube now with this thing as well, so I guess if they cut us, you'll know the reasons why.
Well, we're not monetized yet, so I don't think they care.
Oh, well, okay. Well, we'll just say it all day long. Yeah, but it sure is funny that even your great-grandmother, who lives in the wilds of, in the middle of 1,000 acres,
yep,
she knew, and she has very limited information. But at this point, concerning our food and all the other things going on, you got no excuse. You got no excuse. So that's why it's getting to the point now. If somebody, and a lot of these people, even family members, and that's part of what I'm going to cover in the main topic here, you're not going to tell me that you didn't see this coming.
Yeah.
This is a tsunami. We're all standing on the beach. We're all looking at it, but you're building castles in the sand. All right. So some of the good news, and this may not seem like good news, but I kind of think it is. Whole Foods is leaving downtown San Francisco 1 year after opening due to rampant crime.
Maybe they'll get the point now.
Ooh, what did all that wokeness do for you, man? Is it helping? For crying out loud. I mean, but that's also another indication. Okay, you know a Whole Foods is going to do very well in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? So, Whole Foods probably has more traffic in Asheville than a regular Ingles does in a regular town around here, the typical grocery store. So, I mean, there is a lot of traffic in and out of there. And in fact, the last two times I was in there, which I hate going in there, but it was stuff I couldn't find nowhere else, so I had to go in there. I remember having this conversation with a guy on the way out and how many people were stealing stuff out of that one.
Oh, yeah. There's a security guard that stands by the door. First of all, if you're going to hire security, you better hire somebody who looks like they can stop somebody.
Oh,
you better,
man,
not be filling out your, where you have to hire a minority. What's that called again?
Dude, yeah,
you better
exactly
not be doing that with security.
No, that's exactly what's going on. And they're also hiring woke security. Dude, I'm telling you what, the last guy is, well, I'm glad you brought that up. He had pigtails out of each side. And I'm telling you what, if you were put him in ballerina slippers and a tutu, put him on the stage and sing Good Ship Lollipop, nobody would have been shocked.
If my wife can stiff arm you, you're not security.
Dude, he looked like one of the village people sitting out in front of this thing. He's got this little fake cop outfit on. And I'm like, I almost went by him and did, YMCA. I'm like, come on, really? You ain't stopping nobody, Jack. I mean, this guy, he was so bony, dude. Like, he could hang glide on a Dorito, man. He was like not stopping anybody. And then dressed like, and got pigtails at the side. Man, yeah. I've seen some weird stuff up. I can't believe I went this far off the rails. But anyway, Whole Foods, here they are. They got to be super woke, so they can't stop anybody from stealing. So here they are. They're getting cleaned out. And now you're going to shut it down. I mean, I call that good news because it's yet again another demonstration that this woke culture is poison. It's cancer. It ain't nothing else.
Real quick, you know what place doesn't get raided?
What's that?
Gun stores. They don't get raided.
Yeah.
They don't get raided. They don't get broken into. They don't get robbed. None of that.
Well, you ain't allowed to have any guns in California.
They still have gun stores. Yeah, well, I mean, like, okay, the hunting gun stores and stuff like that. Like, you don't see those places having any issues.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a sign for what the city should do.
Well, but that's the level of depravity that even Pastor Lon, once again, man, I'm bringing him up a lot, that he was talking about a few episodes ago, him and Miss Robbie on the front porch, I believe, where this level of depravity has hit a point that only starvation can cure.
Yeah.
And sadly, we're getting there. I don't want it. I don't wish it. But honestly, good night, man. How many times you got to see in the Old Testament where everything's going good in Israel, they're doing what they're supposed to do, then they start tripping, and then guess what? They go into bondage. Well, I'm only 51 years old, man, and I no longer recognize my own country.
Here's the difference, is that they recognize that they were in bondage. Now they don't.
Well, that's a good point. That is a good point. I mean, it's like that Russell Means. He was in Last of the Mohicans. He played in Gungachkuk. And I think I'm pretty sure it was him that said one time that America's one giant reservation, man. They live in prisons with bars they can't see, but they think they're free.
Yeah.
He made it rhyme somehow, and of course I'm butchering it, but you get the point. All right, y'all, here's another good thing. And I have got to examine this more. I'm not quite sure the full ins and outs of it, but it's called Converso. It's an app. In fact, I just downloaded it, and it's completely untraceable. Now, people have gone on about the Signal app. Some of the friends I have out there use Signal, and honestly, it's the only way to get through. It's the only way to communicate with them is through Signal, right? I want to reach out to these people at Converso. I heard him on with good night. I can't remember the guy, but when I heard what he was talking about, and through this app, absolutely nothing is recorded. There's no servers anywhere gathering the information. It goes away. Now, somebody's probably going to ask, well, why would you need such a thing? I'm not doing anything wrong. Okay, you're not doing anything wrong. You don't think you deserve privacy. Well, then give me your checking account number. You know, give me that. Give me the password to your PIN on your ATM card. You know, whatever the nature of it is. I mean, how many times have you got to be talking on your phone talking around your phone?
Give me the username and password to your social media accounts.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, people are wondering, well, why would you need such privacy? And in this world, I can't even believe anybody would ask such a thing. So how many times do you have a conversation around your phone, and then a little bit later, it was like a this gradualism, this Fabian socialism sort of gradualism that they've done on us.
Yeah.
And so at first it was a little bit of creeping along, and then it got bigger, and then it became a freight train. And now we've been so much like that frog in the boiling pot of water, we don't even recognize that they're listening to everything we say and do.
They're not only listening, they're watching. So I just recently purchased a Gi on my phone. I purchased it on my phone. Not too long after that, I go to the computer and I go to Rapid Tags, which is a service you use to upload tags to YouTube. And then underneath, like, there's an area where you type in the title of the video, and then right below that, there's always like ads right there. There were ads for the website that I just purchased a Gi from. I just purchased the Gi, and there were already ads right there, like minutes apart.
Well, that's exactly what I'm getting at with this Converso. I haven't taken it for the full test run, although I did. It's free for a while now, and I guess for a subscription, it's going to be like $3.99 a month, and then you can include your own whole family, which looks like if I get a subscription, I could get everybody in our family in on it. Huh. Okay. So you could communicate back and forth, and the only way you can set, apparently, I want to get this guy on the show and have him talk about it. It's a young guy who set it up. And hopefully it's all legit. It sure sounds good. I mean, he was on with Greg Hunter. That's where I saw it. And I'm thinking, okay, this is exactly what we need.
Yeah.
Because I could play one small subscription, and then we could all communicate back and forth, whatever the nature of it may be. And the only way they could find out what's been said is if you didn't erase your end of it on your phone. Apparently it just dumps it off in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, I mean, think about like some purchases that you don't want everybody to know about. Right. They're 100% legal. You just don't want everybody to know about it.
Exactly. Like, what if you went down and let's say you went down or you ordered 1,000 rounds of 5.56.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe you don't want Uncle Sam knowing about that. Maybe you don't want any or some hacker. Who even cares? And as far as I'm concerned, I trust a hacker more than I do Uncle Sam.
Yeah, hacker can be paid off.
Yeah,
Uncle Sam will get paid off and still put you in jail.
Right. Well, and put you in the jail. Well, put you under the grave. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's exactly. This is exactly the place where I'm looking. I think I need to be. I don't know enough about this cryptocurrency. For me, I agree. When I heard Andy Frisella said it, I was like, amen. That's exactly how I feel about it regarding cryptocurrency. Until grandmas can know how to use this stuff freely and easily, you're telling people they need a digital wallet. Y'all, I can barely operate this phone. I mean, William can.
I mean, we didn't know how to use any of this technology until we started a YouTube channel.
Well, you know most of it, but honestly, at the end of the day, you're telling me I need a crypto wallet, I need this, I need that. Look, explain that, just like Andy Frisella said, explain it to your grandmother and have them do it. You can get them on board, then this thing will work. But right now, I'm just not a big fan of it because, by and large, most people I know don't have any idea, barely know what it is, and better still, how to use it. And Joel Salatin, speaking of which, was asked about this one time, and I think if I quote him right, I think he said something along the lines of like, man, I don't invest in things I don't fully understand.
Yeah.
And I totally understand that. Yeah. And I totally get it. All right, y'all, when we get back to it, straight into the topic. All right, welcome back, y'all. Hey, remember, you need an EMP shield. Well, I think it probably sells itself these days.
Yeah.
$50 off with promo code PERMA. They've been a sponsor here for quite a while. Also, Harvest Right freeze dryers, if you need one, well, we got a link for that down below as well. Onto the EMP shield. They got that new micro out there. You might want to consider it. Also, consider the fact, look, I know everybody's thinking, okay, why would I need one on my house? Well, lightning protection first and foremost, and their guarantee is so good that I think it's up to $25,000 for anything downstream. If lightning strike does get through, blows up your stuff, bam, they got you insured, they got you covered. You ain't even got to call your own insurance. How cool is that?
Yeah, but you should so you can double up.
He didn't just say that out loud, y'all. That's what a lot of folks would do, but here we go. All right. Are you permaculture prepared? And that, I guess it's to a certain extent a rhetorical question. And if you'll think about it, this is part of what I was getting at before when we were talking about the article where, you know, things blew up, things getting crazy in the grocery store. We talked about it last week that nearly everything on the shelf in the, and look, y'all, it's one thing if you live in the hood, because half the things, you go to a restaurant, not a restaurant, but go to a grocery store in the hood. What are you going to find in the produce department?
What produce department?
If they have one, yeah. If they have it, 50% or more of everything in that produce department is rotten. I kid you not. It stinks. If they have a meat section, it's usually frozen if it's in the hood.
Yeah.
Okay? If you go to the dairy section, because a lot of that stuff is covered under WIC, usually the dairy section moves pretty good because they can sell milk. Maybe a little bit of sour cream here. But a lot of times, if you find things that aren't, you know, the date's running out, that's where you're going to find it, usually in the hood, in one of the grocery stores in the hood. We talked about all this. We talked about it last week. We talked about the dangers that are going on this week. But I'm asking, are you permaculture prepared? And what I mean by that is part of what we've been doing with this YouTube channel from the word go was for the longest time we saw this stuff coming down and we're thinking, okay, well, let's go ahead and evangelize this stuff. Or at least that was William's idea from the beginning. And we've had a change of how we did things along the way, but primarily it has always been a how-to thing for the express purpose of knowing that this stuff is going down. Now, what do I mean by permaculture prepared? I'm just going to ask y'all to think about some things. Okay, everybody right now this time of year is wanting to go out there, plant seeds and, you know, do all this and that, get their annual crops, maybe, you know, get things ready for tomatoes, peppers, whatever it is you like to grow. I want to ask you right now, are those things you're growing, are they a calorie dense crop?
Yeah. Are they storable?
Are they storable? Okay. Even if they are storable, what do you think the nutritional array of green beans are compared to, let's say, sweet potatoes?
Yeah.
They don't add up. I mean, yeah, you're going to get a lot of fiber in both, but honestly, the sweet potato's got a whole lot of vitamins. You could probably live 100% on a sweet potato. But which,
if you had to, I mean, it wouldn't be, you would probably need some sort of protein in there as well. Well,
yeah, and also some fat.
Yeah.
But as far as getting some of the necessary vitamins you need, but honestly, sweet potatoes, let's say you're in a place where you can grow rice. A lot of these things you can take and store back for a very long time. That's why I'm saying, are you permaculture prepared? Because it's one thing, like they have, we've been very critical about these seed kits where they say they're survival seed kits. We've been very critical about that. At least I have. And you'll never get those storage crops in there by and large, unless it's beans or something like that. Now you can do that. Also consider the fact, how many perennial systems do you have?
Yeah, that's a good point. Because those, you once they're established, you don't have to worry about them too much.
Not really. If you get your soil right, remember, you don't have a pest problem on your tree. You got a lack of soil problem, okay? That's why we cover this stuff so much, and we're going to be covering a lot more of it in the future. But think about it. In terms of a storage crop, even without refrigeration, if you had apples come in, and let's say you have as many apple trees as we have, where they're coming out of your ears, and could you store the right apple in the right place? Because we don't just grow apples because they taste good or they sell good or anything like that. There's varieties that we have that are for the express purpose that they keep a long, 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 long time, all the way until the harvest next year, like things like Arkansas Black.
Yeah, those are some, like Arkansas Black, that don't even taste good until they've sat for a while.
Yeah. And even then, they're not the best tasting apple, but it's an apple at a time of year where you were wanting something sweet, or maybe you were wanting apples.
Still tastes better than the ones you can buy at the store out of
season. Any day of the week. Don't even get me started on that. But that is a perennial crop. And the cool thing of a thing about an apple is that it's growing at a time of year when most things are dying back.
Yeah.
It also keeps for a very long time. But are you growing those things, those perennial species? What about berry bushes? Can you make some blueberries go?
Yeah.
Other peach trees. Okay, peaches ain't going to keep forever and a day. But they are fantastic. You could can them. You could do all those things. But I'm trying to get everybody to think outside of the box when it comes to this year. You're seeing everybody going out there buying their plant starts. Are you putting in any trees?
Yeah.
Are you putting in a gift that keeps on giving? Because honestly, I've been saying it forever and a day. One of the biggest things that homesteaders miss is that passive food production in the form of trees. It could even be in the form of foraging if you know what you're looking for.
Well, yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, if you have like a patch of woods or forest or something like that, learn what's in there so you can forage for what you don't grow.
It may be a fair amount. I mean, I come down on some of these purple breathers, but I'm telling you what, man, a lot of these people do know they're wild edibles.
Yeah.
They're not going to do much in terms of in the long run, but you could easily supplement what it is you have. So we talked about less annuals and more perennials, or maybe you can take those perennials. Like, there are perennial yams and stuff you could grow.
Yeah, or what about, like, systems for feeding your livestock and stuff like that?
Well, I was going to cover that very same thing, yeah. Do your animals, think about it. Think about this. Okay, so I've heard a number of people say, well, I got chickens. Well, how are you feeding those chickens? Are you going to run out of feed at some point in time based on the number of chickens you have? Because it might make better sense that, let's say, said calamity were to jump off, that it might make perfect sense that maybe you harvest about half of your flock because you are, at that point, able to feed the other half if you were using conventional means.
Yeah, and that doesn't mean you have to downsize your flock before something happens. You can just kind of get in your head like how much you would need to downsize if something were to happen. I mean, you can still rely on the system right now as you can. Like, I mean, Jeff Lawton and stuff like that, or people like that, they build new permaculture farms and stuff like that with the system if they have access to it, and then eventually wean themselves off.
Well, how about, I mean, just on comfrey alone, how many pounds and pounds per day were we feeding these chickens?
I've got 2 or 1.5 5-gallon buckets full of comfrey just from harvesting comfrey today.
Yeah.
Like harvest, or I was harvesting the roots, but a byproduct of that is feeding comfrey leaves to the sheep or things, chickens.
Things like, you know, trombocinos and a number of other things that Sean and Beth Doherty talk about in their book, which we've gone on and on about. There's some other people we'd like to interview.
Tree hay.
Yes, you go.
That's another one. That's hay you can harvest and put back yourself.
And we've been doing that for a while. Your mom has.
Yeah.
And honestly, there are so many different ways you can be coppicing these trees. So you got to be thinking about things. Because honestly, Eric Sider made that shirt that says permaculture preparedness. It's probably my favorite shirt right now. And it kind of says it all, because permaculture is preparedness. It really is.
Yeah.
All the way around, that's exactly what it is. So, you know, all these things we're talking about is just, it sounds like preparedness to preparedness people, but really it's just permaculture. Let's also consider, I mean, and this is going to be touchy for some people. What about your neighbors? I don't know where some of you may live. You may live in a very rural spot like we do and may not have any neighbors right around. Okay, that may not be a bad thing. It may be a bad thing depending on your circumstance or situation. Also, how much of your family can you trust? Remember, at the end of the day, there was only 8 people on that ark. I'm pretty sure Noah, Ham, Shem, Japheth, their wives rather, Noah's wife. You think they didn't have Ken off that boat?
Yeah.
They didn't
sure
make
they
it.
Did.
They didn't make it. Well, there was only 8 people on that ark. So the parallel I'm making is maybe you have family members that in the time of serious need are not going to be the best assets in the world, especially if those are the family members that live on constant vacation.
Yeah.
Or just said, I'm going to come to your house, which is the most trifling thing I've ever heard in my life, man. And I've heard it more times than I can count. And it aggravates me to no end every time I hear it when somebody says, I'm coming to your house. And I make sure I make it very known. No, you are not coming to my house.
Yeah.
You will not come to my house. Or the other idiots out there who say, and these are big idiots in my book, the ones that say, well, I got a gun. Okay. Yeah. Let's see, if that's your method of preparedness, then I don't want anything to do with you.
Yeah, the marauder.
Yeah. That's what you're going to do if things get stupid. You're going to rob people. Nope. But some of you almost certainly, like me, are going to have family members that way, or people that are friends that are just by virtue of your friendship think that they deserve a place at the table. Do they? Do they? Are they going to get out there when you're out there busting your hump? The ant and the grasshopper story. While you out there busting your hump, they're going on the next vacation. Are those the people that you want to have to your place if things jump off? It ain't a matter of if at this point. It's when.
And it isn't like a vacation to go learn new skills or anything like that. It's a vacation to just go waste time.
Yeah. Or escape their lives.
Yeah.
A lot of times.
Yeah.
Y'all, to put ends on this, I really want to make it very clear. Be thinking about, okay, annuals are fine, but think of perennial crops, nut crops. Remember, fat is the hardest thing to find in nature. Can you grow hazelnuts out there? If you can grow oaks in that system, you can almost certainly grow hazelnuts. Real good source of fat. You know, maybe you got some out there. I don't know. Grow that fruit. Grow these things that really, by and large, that really grow without a whole lot of assistance once you get them going.
Yeah.
You just got to constantly make sure you put mulch on it. And that's really, I mean, if you do it the way we do, it's maybe 2-3 times a year at the most. If that's too much work for you, then you shouldn't ever got into this to begin with.
And you don't necessarily have to add mulch 2-3 times a year either.
No, not necessarily.
Yeah.
I mean, we do because the soil is so alive that you can stack that stuff up a foot high and just a couple of months later. But like you said, the process is that deadpan clay, that hard pan clay that was there, guess what? Worms made quick business out of it. Yep. We'll be back with the Q&A in a minute. Clap, track, green,
Everybody worked up about Elon. Buying Twitter like he gon' save us. Huh? Left and right, squabbling while he got chips for your heads, calling him courageous. No bueno, I answer to no one, start calling me NATO. Digital cheese on the way, though. Get you a bowl of Alfredo. It's a woke summer, I need another booster. Before I hit the beach, BLM on my cooler.
Well, it's definitely a woke spring. It's been a woke winter. It's been a woke summer. It's been a woke, I don't know how many years now. And I'm really sick of it. All right, y'all. Q&A time, and it's time to get right into it. Todd is asking, he says, I'm interested in making a purchase. What type of comfrey do you have?
Bocking number four. Russian Bocking number four. So it's the least bitter to animals. So it's like the most palatable to your animals. And highest in allantoin levels.
And he's asking, is it sterile or will it provide seeds?
It will provide seeds. We don't actually propagate it through seed. We propagate it through roots. But we had somebody comment last time, somebody asked, saying that they actually did propagate it from seed.
Well, I'm going with the roots because I know that's a clone.
Oh, yeah. And yeah. You can, like, the roots, you can, you have more control over and stuff like that.
Yeah.
They grow faster. It's, yeah, I would go with the roots.
There you go.
Yep. I got one from Strider47 on the Fountain app. Whoever manages that mountain in the mountain set, that monument in the mountain set a lofty goal to have all the hood rats respect nature and the ears of all the other visitors. Unfortunately, they had to replace all the monument this way signs with the please turn off your radio signs. They may need to try a different approach. They may need to tip a pimp. Also, hashtag catch Jack.
Dude, that is hilarious and clever. Right on the money, boy.
He set a lofty goal. Boy, he tied two episodes together.
Man, he rocked the house with that one, man. I'd love to get Strider in the studio one day. All right, Matthew said he hasn't listened to the podcast in a while. Shame on you, Matthew. In fact, hey, in truth, I haven't been listening to a whole lot of... I've been listening to barely enough podcasts, just enough to keep me aware of what's going on. But honestly, I've been spending a lot of time in soil study. Don't worry, that's going to come out it's going to come out before too long. But anyway, he's given he says, you know, to make a long story short, the fall I took off, he took pots, soil, basically soils from pots and made a bunch of, basically tried to make a bunch of compost out of it. He said he's going to try the 18-day method when he gets his chicken squared away. So he says, since I didn't have a manure source for this thing, he's wondering whether the old potting soil is going to work out. It's really hard to say without testing that soil. What really comes down to is you don't necessarily need the manure. What you need is life in that soil. And sometimes the manure can help bring that along. That's more of a complex question that we can really get into. But it wouldn't have been the first time because back in the day, your mom used to do it all the time. She'd recycle some of that potting soil. Yeah, when you go mix it all up like that, the structure is going to be a little jacked up. But it's usually something you can work with and do something with.
I would say use your potting soil as an amendment to your compost. Not like an amendment, but maybe an ingredient to your compost instead of adding compost to your potting soil, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is from No Name Tag. All the way from the frigid North Canada sitting atop an 80-acre homestead kingdom. Time to educate a pimp. And then there's a link down here. Oh, for a Tamagotchi. All right, y'all, I know what a Tamagotchi is now. But the link for it's a Wikipedia link to Tamagotchi. P.S. Great show. Keep up the good work.
Well, thanks so much from your own jungle palace sitting on 80 acres up in Canada.
Yep.
Man, I love Canada. I really did. I mean, every time I've been up there, I never met one Canadian I didn't like. It was a guy named Al. And outside of that, man, I've never met even out there at Earthship, dude. And I was working on that Earthship. There was one Canadian guy out there. Coolest dude you ever... I mean, he was like a... He was honestly like a model, like a male model or something like that.
What?
But, yeah. I mean, he was a good guy, man. Really good guy named Dan. Really
there,
liked
there was,
him.
I met... In Australia, I met a Canadian from the Yukon. Yeah.
Really?
He was like all... Like, that was the first... I didn't know people lived there.
Call him Yukon Cornelius?
Nope.
Put one foot
now, he
in
was
front
odd.
Of the other. Okay.
That guy was odd.
You're going to have me singing Rudolph songs here. Okay, we got one from Chris here. Let's see here. He's wondering if we can do any coaching or permaculture setup or design. No, y'all, we're really not doing any of that right now. We just don't have the bandwidth or the time. But I tell you who you do go to. My homeboy, Eric Sider, out there, e.sider, S-E-I-D-E-R, at gmail.com. He'll get you squared away on all of your needs, if he can. I mean, he can do it remotely, but you'd be shocked at how much he can do from that remote location.
Oh, yeah. Now we're on the YouTube comments from the Permaculture Pimpcast YouTube channel. This is from Mark Ripto. Thank you all for putting out this content. It is sorely needed these days. And then I got another one from Chris Stubbs. There's a reason Baker Creek doesn't get my money. Diabolical is right.
Bam.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, man. There's a lot of weird stuff going on with some of these seed companies. And some of this stuff, I mean, I don't know. I wasn't really talking about Baker Creek then, but I mean, they may be. No. Baker Creek was into some make everybody get a jab type thing.
Oh, it was?
I thought it was Baker Creek. I better be mindful because I'm not quite sure. They're out of California.
Okay, there is one seed company that we all know, we've all bought seeds from, that everybody agrees their germination rate sucks. And I can't remember the name of it.
Don't worry. We're not going to bring it up right now, but I think it might have already been mentioned. But, yeah. So we got another person, Joel. He's asking, well, it goes right back to the comfrey thing. Yes, Bocking number 4. But he's also got another thing. He said he ordered some comfrey salve. Do you manufacture it on site solely from this variety? Yeah, we do. And, in fact, I was punching the punching bag the other day. Skinned up my knuckles because he got me some jacked up bag gloves.
It was all they had. First of all, Dad sent me out on Easter to go find bag gloves. Ain't nothing open.
I'm in here trying to punch his bag.
I came back with the best I could find.
My knuckles are all, you don't realize how much your knuckles, like how hard it is for something to heal up when it's on the edge of a joint.
Yeah.
So it's on your knuckles, man. I'm constantly, so I've been putting that comfrey salve on there. And this thing's like healing up. It seems to be in record time. So
I put it on my shoulder. That one where you had me like the rotator cuff issues and stuff like that. There's a noticeable difference when I do put it on and when I don't put it on.
Yeah, that stuff definitely. I mean, it works for us.
Yeah, I got another one from Laz Sis on the YouTube channel. Sounds like your next project will be a bee tractor. Huh. Maybe. I wonder if that would work. Wow. If you could just, okay, so they move them around in California.
Yeah. I mean, I can't even believe that's never been thought of. That's actually quite a brilliant idea. If you could somehow keep it level, the problem is.
Keeping them from leaving. Like the bees from leaving. Cause okay. So when
we're
not going to
pull
bees,
the wagon.
No, well, they might. I don't know. But those bees, like when we move them from, because it's not a great enough distance, there's a chance that they go back to the old spot. So there's that concern.
Well, unless you move them incrementally.
Which that could be beneficial too. A bee tractor would be beneficial for that. You just leave them on the tractor, move them 2 feet a day.
That honestly is a brilliant idea, man. I never even see, man, we got the best audience in the world. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Zoe was asking a bunch of stuff about bone sauce, and thank you so much for that. But she said, I heard about it from someone who runs a garden at Berea College in Kentucky. She heard about it from an Amish farmer. So word of mouth on bone sauce. So Amish farmers are talking about bone sauce.
I don't know how that even happened.
I don't know how they order, but we do get orders that come in the mail, you know, people that write checks.
Yeah.
Maybe they're Amish. Most people are going to do it electronically these days. I get it. But apparently the Amish are using bone sauce now. So
hey, Amish, if y'all want to barter, let us know.
Yeah, well, wait till I get done with 75 Hard, and we'll talk about some of them bomb baked goods y'all make.
Dad wants some shoe fly pies. That's it.
Man, most people, okay, so I grew up early on in a part of Pennsylvania, Pennsylvania Dutch country, and shoe fly pies, scrapple, all those things that I do miss from my childhood, but they're not all made the same, man. I'm used to those that real hardcore sorghum. If anybody's ever heard of a shoe fly pie out there, holler if you hear me because you know how good it is.
I got one from Home with Katrina. Would you be willing to add timestamps? Yeah, we can definitely add timestamps to the YouTube channel.
I see.
Timestamps so you can go through like the good news, bad news, the farm news, pasture lawn. all that type of stuff. Main topic Q&A. So yeah, we'll add timestamps between the breaks and stuff like that.
All right. Well, we're getting the best of luck from a gentleman by the name of Bert regarding this weekend.
Thanks,
Bert. And there's been a number of people ever since we first talked about it regarding chemtrails. A lot of people sending pictures of their skies. And Karen, she sent this one also. She said, she titled it, "Watch This, Your Bride Will Be Upset," like we all should be. And basically, there's this thing about these chemtrails. And honestly, y'all, it's getting on my last nerve because every single time some nasty weather event happens around here, it's always preceded by some chemtrails.
I have a video where I was driving to jiu-jitsu practice. And there's literally like tic-tac-toe in the sky. Like it's perfect. I don't know. Like I was in the perfect spot to get this video, but it's literally like crisscross in the sky.
And you can't get most people to take a second look or even care about it.
Like what if that was a normal flight pattern, we'd see that every single day.
George Norrie, I think, said it best. And he put it in the simplest terms. He's like, okay, he had a guest on. It was a time back. And they were debating this thing, whether it's contrails, chemtrails, whatever. And then George Norrie said, okay, so generally the planes around St. Louis come in and out at about the same time every day. They got the same patterns. They fly the same routes. So wouldn't I see the same marks in the same place every time, depending on atmospheric conditions? Let's say you don't see it every day, but it should still generally be the same patterns that I see. He said, that's not what I'm seeing. So don't tell me this is just some contrail, because a contrail, it evaporates after a bit. A chemtrail, you'll see it. It'll come out. It's white. It dissipates. Before you know it, the whole sky is cloudy.
You notice now, okay, all the military planes and stuff like that fly over, you notice none of them leave chemtrails?
Wow, I didn't even think about that.
I don't know why, but none of, like, we get a lot of military air traffic around here.
Well, we're not far from Fort Bragg. A lot of C-130s, you know, guys with paratroopers on board, I'm sure, doing Nap of the Earth. And they came out from Pope Air Force Base near Fort Bragg, and they fly out here. They're doing, you know, they're flying.
They don't leave chemtrails.
Nope.
And then also from Asheville Regional Airport, that only flies to like two or three places, Charlotte and Atlanta, I think. So there should be...
No, you get some direct flights to Dallas and some other places.
From Asheville?
Yeah. Yeah, because went straight to Dallas.
Okay, so the most common flights that happen every single day are Charlotte and Atlanta. We should see chemtrails going in those directions every single day.
Yeah. But we still got to sit here and argue with people. But I'll tell you what, the disagreement and the... I mean, I remember seeing knockdown dragouts in some of the jobs I've worked on before where people would bring this up and people were reluctant to hear or talk about it. I think those lines are starting to get a little bit, people are waking up regarding that, but they're still not awake regarding their food.
It's not a conspiracy theory. This isn't a theory. Saudi Arabia does it once a week.
So why can't people just say the word conspiracy without adding theory? Why can't they just say conspiracy?
It's not even a conspiracy over there. It's just a fact. Like, this is just what they openly do. They didn't conspire about it. They're just like, it'd be nice if it rained once a week and we got the money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can make it happen. Talk about making it rain. All right, y'all. Hopefully this program was a blessing to you. We got to get out here and knock out a few more work, a bit more work. So until next time, y'all, stay alert.
Stay alive.